Good morning. Welcome to those of you here physically and those of you here online. Make me a servant, huh? A humble servant. Serving God and serving others. When we serve others, we're serving God too, aren't we? Yeah, love God and love others. Today, brotherly love. We'll learn about that as we progress through Romans 12 here. And, well, let's hear it from God himself, from the readings.
The first reading is from Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. Here ends the reading. The second reading is in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Have the same love, being one in spirit and one of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Do not looking to your own interest, but to each of you in the interest of others. Here ends the lessons.
Will you stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel? Today's gospel is found in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, to Jesus. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids want to head out for children's church at this time? Feel free. All right. Lord, we thank you for your presence here today and everywhere and every day. We acknowledge you, Lord. We are gathered here to honor you, to worship you. Let these words of yours, Lord, that you inspired, speak to us deep down in our hearts and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty, working our way through Romans 12 once again. Last time it was, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Here we follow that up. Talking about love once again. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. In reading that, the words you choose many times, they can be so important. If you've ever written short stories or a poem, just every word, you got a choice between many, many different words that you can put in there. What best expresses what you want to say? You got to find that one. And I'm sure that authors sometimes struggle with that a lot. They're just, oh, how can I put this into words? And so as I read just this short verse, it says, be devoted to one another. We could use other words instead of devoted, or Paul could have. But that's the one he chose. That's the one the Spirit led him to use. Devoted. Think of that. If Jill was here, she could probably sing the whole song, Hopelessly Devoted to You. She likes that musical grease, you know. We could all sing along. Oh, you are here. I thought you went out with Children's Church. Okay, Marcy teaching today. But yeah, I know that's there. And to be devoted is to be dedicated, right? It's dedication. It's an active commitment. So choosing that word there, devoted to one another, to those around you, to fellow believers, in brotherly love. The brotherly love, there's seven different words for love in Greek. This one is Philadelphia. Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. They chose that from this, okay? Philia, philio, or Philadelphia. It's a kind of love between people. It's not, you know, between a man and a wife. That's a different kind of love. There is not the agape love, the overall love. But this is a dedication to each other, a being there for each other. It's beyond a mutual relationship. You know, it's beyond just, oh, yeah, I know that person. No, this is sticking fast with each other, being there for each other. Experienced a lot of this in the military, basically. That's what kept coming to mind for me, being brothers in arms. You're dependent on the person to your left and your right. And the person behind you, or if there's someone in front of you, you're dependent on each other. You are there for each other. You've been molded into a family. And the bonds go deep. There's a oneness that results. And I would hope that we could feel that as brothers and sisters in Christ as well. That we can depend on those around us. Ideally, as a follower of Christ, you could walk into any church, in any city, in any town in the country, or around the world, and be able to depend on the people to the left and the right of you, to be able to share with them, to be able to ask them for help, to render them aid, to have that mutual relationship, that oneness. Yeah, do we have that? I like to think that here we do. We welcome anyone to come in here, and we're going to be here for you, we're going to be here with you. I have to believe there's not a person around you right now that if you ask them to pray with you, that they wouldn't drop everything and do so. That they wouldn't be there to help you. And, of course, it's harder to ask than to... It's fun to pray with others, but to ask for prayer, that's tough. It is, admittedly. But no, we are here for each other. We are here with each other. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us have that brotherly love, right? Let us exhibit that brotherly love. Let us be there for each other in a genuine way, right? Love must be sincere, it said in the prior verse. So there's a bond that develops and a dependability where you can depend on the brothers and sisters around you. This is a steady love. It's not one with emotional ups and downs or sometimes, you know, it's better, sometimes it's worse. No, this is there no matter what. There no matter what. Again, going into battle, you want the people on your left and right to be there no matter what. And they're there for each other. Absolutely. There's also willingness to sacrifice with this. To give up of ourselves, of our time, and whatever else. To those around us and those in need. We look at the second chapter of Acts. We had the early church there where they were sharing everything ahead. If there was a need, someone would sell a field and they would use the proceeds to help each other. There was a depending on each other. There is a oneness once again. There is a brotherly love. Again, as brothers and sisters in Christ, let us exhibit this as well, this sharing. Romans 12:15, a little preview five Sundays from now. We would read here, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Yeah, rejoicing with our brothers and sisters when they rejoice. We're happy for them and we are happy with them. Happy for them and happy with them. And it also falls up with mourn with those who mourn. We're genuinely there for each other in the tough times as well. Again, the brotherly love, depending on each other, coming together, all oneness. A family of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. This will also result in Colossians 3, 12 through 14 that addresses this here. To it. Getting there. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This is for each other, right? A compassion for each other, a kindness, humility, considering others better than yourselves, a gentleness and patience. Yeah, we got to be patient with each other too. That's something that we all learn, right? Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. If we're going to be have unity, if we're going to be a body of Christ, we have to be able to be patient with each other, be forgiving with each other, and be there for each other. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So you got the compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, all these wonderful attributes, but above, the love binds them all together, this brotherly love that we have for each other. Of course, we have the love for God, that's first and foremost, but we are also to love one another. So Jesus told us, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Him first, that's your priority right there, loving God. But to love your neighbor as yourselves. And I'm happy to be part of a congregation where we live that out, where we are genuinely there for each other. Let us continue that. Let us honor one another above ourselves as well. That was the second part of that verse for today. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love and honor one another above yourselves. Taking that humble approach that Jesus did, where he was honoring others, washing their feet. I mean, wow. Honoring others. Putting aside whatever he had going on when there was a need to be there for others, to honor others. A wonderful model for us to follow. To put the self aside, right? Again, self creeps in. That old four-letter word self always comes creeping in. We're looking out for ourselves, looking out for number one. Our human nature is to do that. Any animal, too, has a survival instinct where they're looking out for themselves. They're going to get to that food first. We put that aside. We put ourselves aside to humbly serve others, to build others up instead of building ourselves up, to help others, to encourage others, to be there for others and be there with others, to be there for them and be there with them. Well, the opposite of that is sort of what we saw in today's gospel. This is not our example of honoring one another above yourselves. This is quite the opposite. We have the request of James and John here. So James and John, sons of Zebedee, they were a somewhat prominent family, apparently. They had a fishing business where they had employees and everything else, so they were doing pretty well. And James and John were part of the inner circle, James, John, and Peter, the three that would be with closer to Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane, at the Transfiguration, all these different places here where those three were sort of the inner circle. So they're already a part of that. James and John, Boanerges, the sons of thunder, as Jesus called them, they were the ones that wanted to call down fire on the Samaritans when they rejected helping Jesus. Can we call down fire on them? You know, they're just eager. They wanted to. Their personalities come through here. But John, we know so much more about him from the letters of John and also Revelation. Someone who is totally devoted to Jesus, to following him. And here, though, we see a different side of him. James and John sort of pulled Jesus aside and said, hey, we're going to ask you a question. Just say yes. You ever had kids do that to you? Dad, I'm going to ask you a question. Just say yes, okay? Just say yes. And that's what's happening here, right? James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Just say yes. All right. What was their motive here? Did they think of themselves as better than others? Did they want that power? Did they want the recognition? Was there pride here? I would suggest that all these things were factors. And Jesus had been spending all this time with his disciples, just teaching him, hey, humbly serve, humbly serve, humbly serve. And James and John coming through here. There was another player in this as well, though. If we go back to Matthew 20, verse 20, and take Matthew's account of this. It says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons, so the mother of James and John, came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down asked a favor of him. What is it you want, he asked. She said, grant that these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. So I guess their mom maybe played a role too, huh? Were they sort of mama's boys or something? I don't know. But she wanted to see them recognized. Again, probably part of a prominent family, and perhaps thought that somehow they deserved this, huh? Well, looking at their mother, if I want to be remembered in Scripture, people reading about me 2,000 years later, I don't want to be remembered like that, okay? Someday we'll probably meet her in heaven or something like that. But yeah, it's one of those things there. But yeah, she was pushing them as well, apparently. And it's our human nature, once again, to build ourselves up, and we have to fight against that. So they asked this, and Jesus replies, "Can you drink the cup? You know, be baptized like I am." And they said, "Yes, we're going to follow you no matter what. And we can do that. And it will happen," he said. "You will be persecuted as I am going to be." And of course it happened. Skipping ahead to verse 41. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Indignant for sure. Who do they think they are? You know, trying to get the left and the right and the left seats in the kingdom. So yeah, I would imagine that they're a little unsettled. We could add to that indignant. We could expand on that. We could put in a bunch of other things there too. And they did not look favorably or kindly on this, and it's understandable. But Jesus sees this as a teachable moment. He's just a master at that. He'll see a way to just turn this into a learning experience for people. Yeah, I understand you're upset, but here, let me teach you something here. Let me teach you about humility and honor and serving. Jesus called them together. So, hey, come on over here. You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Of course, yes, rulers do have an authority, and they exercise it over others, hopefully in the right way. Can power go to people's heads, and all of a sudden they start wielding it in the wrong way for the wrong purposes? Absolutely, true back then, true today. Let us use whatever authority we've been given for various reasons to honor God in the right way. I pray that for those that are in positions of leadership, that they would use whatever authority they've been given for God's glory, to honor Him for right purposes. Alrighty. Not so with you. We are to be different. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. I don't really seek to be great. I suppose some people do. We seek to be humble. We seek to serve. We seek to honor others. But he's turning things upside down here again. You got to serve others if you want to be great. We don't do it for that motive, right? We don't do it for that motive. We serve others because that's what God has told us to do. To honor others above ourselves. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, absolutely. Set a wonderful example for us to follow, and to give his life as a ransom for many, a sacrifice. In humbling, serving others, absolutely we're sacrificing. We're giving ourselves, giving of our time, we're sacrificing. Ultimately, Jesus sacrificed his life. And going back to the example of brothers and sisters in Christ, when I think back to, you know, being a soldier, you're willing to sacrifice for others. No greater love, right? All right, so this is how not to do it, very clearly, the request of James and John, how not to do it. How should we do it then? Well, that's where Philippians comes in. Paul writes to the people of Philippi here, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion," and of course we should have those things. If we have any of those, yeah, we should have all those, right? Encouragement from being united with Christ, absolutely our source. Any comfort from his love, 100%. Any fellowship with the Spirit, I certainly hope so. Any tenderness and compassion, yes, we should definitely have all these things. So if we have any of these, then make his joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose, coming together as one, body of Christ. Again, not just here, any church, anywhere, and also any time. Go back to a different time period, or else going ahead, you should be able to walk in any church and feel this unity with the brothers and sisters. We are all part of the body of Christ. I like that idea. Let it be genuine. You walk into a different church and you're traveling. I love going to different churches and experiencing different forms of worship. It's great. It's fun meeting these people. But let there be a genuine connection between us and any fellow believers, that we are there with each other, that we are there for each other. We have a common purpose. We have a common identity. We are one in Christ. I again am encouraged by area youth events when we have various different churches and denominations that kids get me together to worship. It's very, very encouraging. Finding out that we have this in common, that we have Christ in common. So being like-minded, having the same thoughts as others, the same mindset, having the same love, absolutely, being one in spirit and purpose. We have the same spirit and the same purpose to go out there and serve others, to spread the gospel. Doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, not to build ourselves up, but in humility considering others better than ourselves. There it says it once again, okay? Honor others above yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Again, to be there for each other and be there with each other. Let that be our goal here. To be one in Christ, to have the same unity, the same purpose, to be there with each other and be there for each other. Lord, lead us into that, that we can genuinely exhibit these qualities, that we can genuinely be the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, molded into one family, here for each other and here with each other. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now let's go out there and live it, right? As we encounter fellow believers, I don't care if they're Presbyterian, Episcopalian, whatever, if they're fellow believers, let us build each other up. Let us be there with each other and be there for each other.